Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to invite you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. We're in a series on grace and about accessing God's grace. And we've talking about ways now. We're talking about ways to access it. I've got one I want to talk about this morning and then again next Sunday. But we talked about faith, how you access God's grace by faith. You access God's grace by knowledge about, you know, the Bible says that we have grace and peace through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the more we know, the more peace we have, amen, about things, you know. It just works that way. As you get older, you know more, and you get more peace in life, you know. It's like you're not shaken about a lot of things any longer, amen. And, you know, I used to get really shaken up. This doesn't happen like every day, but I used to get really shaken up when I'd get pulled over by a policeman. And now it doesn't bother me too much anymore. It's like, what are they going to do to me, you know? Throw me in jail, that's free meals. Anyway, praise the Lord. I actually had a guy call me one time. This is serious, man. He told me, he said that I think it was the IRS I owed money to or something. And I thought, well, I probably would know that if I did. Well, okay, maybe I wouldn't. My wife would know it, though. And he said that there was a warrant out for my arrest. And the guy did not know what to do with this. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, that's like free board and free meals. He goes, well, it wouldn't be so wonderful. I said, oh, man, yeah, free food. He just gave up on me. Forgot his scam. Amen. But anyway, knowledge does increase your peace, doesn't it? Yes. Amen. And this morning, I want to talk about humility. That's one of the ways we access God's grace. Let's go here to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, why should the younger submit to the elders? Because they know more, right? I shudder, man. I was just thinking. I shudder. You know, well, years ago there was this teaching about the Joshua generation arising. And basically the teaching was the Joshua generation is rising, all us Moseses are fading off the scene, and they're going to take over. And, you know, I'm just like, sit down, shut up, I'm not going anywhere for a while. It's like Brother John Osteen, you know, Joe had a father. And he was one of the great preachers in America. He said, some of y'all are waiting for me to die, take over this church, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, you know, eventually you are, but not anything soon. And so that was their thing. And I'm thinking, you know, because we have this mentality to throw away all the old stuff and come up with new stuff. And, you know, God gives us new stuff. Don't misunderstand or overinterpret that. But why throw away old stuff that works? Why throw away old songs that God anoints? Why throw away old preachers that still have the anointing on their life? Amen. Why are we doing this? That's just dumb because they have a lot of wisdom. I shudder to think, I look back, because I'm not against young preachers. I was a young preacher. I started preaching when I was 21. I was a young preacher. But I shudder to think at 21, 22, and 23, I was counseling people in their marriages. And I'm thinking, boy, that was dangerous, but I was it. I was pastor. And of course, there's a lot of things I've learned since those days. I wouldn't count you the same now as I did when I was 21. Today, I'd probably tell you, shut your mouth. In love. You can't do that and say those things and do those things and so forth, but we understand that we shouldn't throw away the older preachers. That's right. When I got saved, I wasn't feeding off young guys. Of course, there wasn't too many younger than me when I got saved. But I was going after the older guys, or who I considered to be older guys, and learn from them because they had some experience. Right. Yeah. I wanted to know what they had to say.
And our generation needs the older to not give up.
Exactly right. So why should we submit to the... Just think about the natural. Why should the younger submit to the older? because they've lived life. This is a quote that I love. I've used it many times, but I just like it. I hope you don't get tired of it. It's from Mark Twain. And he said this. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around." I remember being 14 and that being true. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. How many think what happened was Mark Twain learned some things in 7 years? You know, because from 14 to 21, there's a big growth period there, you know. And so, you teenagers, I just want to tell you this, and I don't want you to leave the church. I don't want you to backslide. I don't want you to hope the rapture comes like today. Well, that'd be okay. But the way your parents act, that's the way you're going to be acting in a few years. I know you don't believe that. And I know that's repulsive to you. But it just comes with life. When I first started in the ministry, I was with an older guy. He wasn't really that much older than me. Well, he was older. He was 15 years older than me. I was 21, and he was 36. But he'd been around more than I had. And so I learned to keep my mouth shut and listen, right? He'd been preaching a lot more years than I had. And so I learned to keep my mouth shut and listen. And I didn't get offended when I got corrected by someone older than me. I thought they know something. Maybe I should pay attention here. I mean, that's humility. And if you're going to get God's grace, you're going to have to be a humble person that can take some correction. Because one thing about humility is realizing you could be wrong. Right? See, one Bible teacher said some things about pride. Said pride, has an opinion about everything. I think this Bible teacher said, how do you know if you have pride? One thing, you have opinion about everything. Two, you're judgmental. I wish I could remember all the things they said because it was good. I have it in my notes, not in these notes, but in some notes somewhere. But, three, you can't be corrected. Now, I mean, if you can't be corrected, what you're saying is I'm positively, absolutely, in every way perfect. Hallelujah. How many know we already know you have some problems? And one thing is you need this message this morning is you need to know about humility because we're all growing and we're all learning. You know, some of the preachers, I know some preachers that got to be around, know of preachers and know some preachers that got to be around Oral Roberts. And one of the things that they were impressed with, which impressed me, was they said when he was an older man, he wanted to learn from them. He'd say, "Tell me what you know about this." And I mean, you know, you think, well, I'm not. How could I tell you anything? But that's humility. Yeah. That's somebody realizing that somebody might have something I don't have. How many know we don't all have it all together, do we? You know what I'm saying? Anytime I see a church that says, if you don't believe the way we believe, you're lost. I know they're lost probably. Because your pride shows it. Amen. All right. So he said, Peter said, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." How many of clothing is something you can see? You can see what I have on today. I've got a brown jacket on, you know, and whatever color, khaki pants or whatever color those are. I don't know about colors too well. I know black, white, gray, blue gets in between. I get lost. But anyway, you can see that, right? Well, if you're a humble person, it can be seen on you. It's going to show up. So be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Who gets grace? The humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I mean, God wants to exalt you, but you have to humble yourself under his mighty hand. And we'll talk about this just a little bit more today and do things the way he says to do them. Amen. I'm going to tell you a Bible story, okay? I was going to read it, but I think I'll just tell it to you. There was a captain of the host of Syria. His name was Naaman. He was a mighty man of valor, the Bible said. So he was a high-ranking officer in Syria. He was a right-hand man to the king. This man had prestige, he had wealth, he had power, he had servants. He was used to being honored, all right? But the problem was he was a leper. And so a little maiden in Israel that worked for them, his wife, that waited on Naaman's wife, she knew about a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha. And she so told the Naaman's wife, if my master would go into Israel, there's a prophet there that could heal him of his leprosy, could cure him of it. So he goes. He tells the king of Syria. The king of Syria writes to the king of Israel, said, I'm going to send to you my servant Naaman, that he may be cured of leprosy. And the king of Israel thinks, well, how am I going to cure him of leprosy? Because he's trying to start a fight with me. And Elisha says, send him to me. He'll know there's a God in Israel. So he goes with his entourage. How many know a guy like that doesn't travel by Uber? Right? He didn't arrive. An Uber driver let him out to the door and took off. He's arriving with his horses, his chariots, his entourage. He has a host around him. He gets there, and the man of God doesn't even have the courtesy, the decency to even go out and see him. He sends a servant out and says, tell him to go jump in the river. That's a modern translation. Well, you tell him, go dip 7 times into Jordan and your flesh will come again as a little child. It made him mad. He's not used to being treated this way. He's used to being honored. And he got mad. And he said, I thought surely he would come out. He didn't even bother to come out. How many know God knew this man needed some humbling? He said, I thought surely he'd come out, strike his hand over the place of leprosy, call on the name of his God and cure me of his leprosy. He said, are not the rivers in Syria, Damascus, better than the Jordan River? He said, why can't I dip in them and be cleansed? How many know the reason why you can't is because you're not calling the shots, honey. God is. People make up things. You know, a guy told me one time, I'll never forget this. He told me, if I go to church and I have $60 in my billfold and I give $6, I figure I've tithed. Well, you can figure that all you want to, but the Bible said it's 10% of all your increase, not your billfold. Not just what you brought to church. Because if you did it that way, people would bring less and less to church. Oh, I only had $1. Here's 10 cents, God. Come on, you don't want to be like the little boy that going to Sunday school, and his mom would always, she should have been going herself, but she'd always give him a couple nickels, you know, to take to Sunday school. One was for the offering, one for ice cream on the way home. So, you know, it's been a while back. And so he's got both nickels in his hand. He's walking to church, Sunday school one morning, and he's walking like this, and he slings, and one of those nickels falls out of his hand, rolls down the gutter, and goes down the storm drain. He looked up and said, God, there went your nickel. I mean, we don't call the shots. And people, here's the way I see it. It doesn't matter how you or I see it. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what God said. That's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Right? Not what we think about it. It's like that guy told me, I figure I've tithed. Well, you can figure that, but that's not what the Bible says. Amen. See, even small, I think a lot of times, it's like the Song of Solomon says, the little foxes spoil the vines. I think sometimes a small thing just getting us, and we don't even realize it. Just things that we're you know, like, how many of the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together? We got Christians don't even go to church. Or if they do, just sporadically. And can't understand why they got problems. You've given access to the devil. You haven't humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. So here in Peter, let's go over to, let's go over to James chapter 4 because I want to talk about some more of this morning. How much of it can you take? Did you know that the Bible tells us that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. So one third of all sin is a pride issue. Isn't it something that they call Pride Month? Why would you, you know, that just associating pride with anything. You know, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 16 that one of the main problem with Sodom was pride. Pride. Idleness, fullness of bread. Pride. Why? Because they're living their lives the way they want to live it instead of the way God wants to live it. How many know you got to make your flesh behave? People say, well, I was born this way. We were all born messed up. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but we were all born messed up. That's what getting saved is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you fix those things. If you're a sinner and you don't know Christ, you're going to live any other way you want to. But when you get born again, your body's not yours any longer. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? You know, if you're not saved, you just do whatever you want to with your body. But you get saved, you quit doing the things that you used to do with your body in the world. I don't do the same things with my body I did before I was saved. Because it's not my body any longer. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. God said, I bought it with a price. Amen. So I see Christians do things with their body. I wouldn't do that with my body. I wouldn't do it with my body. Maybe you did it before you was a sinner. I mean, when you was a sinner. But I wouldn't do it today. I wouldn't do it. Because it isn't up to us what's right and wrong. It's up to the book. Are y'all hearing me? She said, well, I got my truth, you got your truth. You don't have any truth. What is truth? That's what Pilate asked. Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. The word's truth. Right? So when it says don't do it, how many know it hadn't changed? Right? He said, well, you know, it's okay. See, even today, and this may offend people, I don't, you know, it's all right. If the word, you get mad at me, but you're not really getting mad at me. You're getting mad at the word. If you're watching this online and you get all ticked off at me, just know this. It's not me you're ticked at. It's the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible talks about, you know, the only people that are supposed to be having sex together are married people, a man and a wife. Now, we've had all kinds of this. We're shacking up and all that, and God knows we're married, And I had to tell one person one time, I said, look, if you can walk away without getting a divorce, you're not married. Don't give me this, we're married before the eyes of God. Well, it's just a piece of paper. Yeah, but God thinks a lot of that piece of paper. He's the one who told Moses, give him a writ of divorce in the Old Testament. He, you know what I'm saying? He recognizes that. All right, that went over big. But you're not blowing that smoke on me. I've been around too long. You're just trying to fornicate and make it legal. It's real nice, seeker-friendly preaching this morning, isn't it? You don't hear this much anymore, but it's the Bible, right? That's why your life is, I'm not mad at anybody. You can live the way you want to live, but you're going to be messed up, and the devil's going to get a hold of your mind. He's going to get a hold of your body. He's going to mess you up because you're giving him access.
That's right. Come on.
Right?
Amen.
See, we're clothesline preaching today, but it's good. Even to what you allow, watch yourself watch. Christians watch things and go to movies that are just demonic. I'm thinking, why are you doing this? David said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. And there's some of this, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't watch Gunsmoke because I'd be in problems. I won't preach that because I watch Gunsmoke. But, you know, there's demonic things that people watch. Why would I watch people having affairs and stuff when I don't believe that that's right? Why would I watch women flaunting their bodies when I don't think that's right?
Come on.
Why would I watch that on TV? I'm not going to do that. Yeah, well, you say, well, you're just old style. Yeah, and I got a sound mind, too. I don't have all kinds of junk in my mind. I'm not tormented. Amen. I'd rather have peace. Amen. Amen. We're right along. Hallelujah. Say, I love the pastor. That was weak. Did you find James? I just think, well, I still believe in living right. Yep. I still believe in dressing right, putting some clothes on.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Don't show your flesh off.
Come on now, I agree.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here in James, look at this. In James chapter 4, look at this. Verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Anybody need some more grace?
Yeah.
I would like some more grace.
Yeah.
Well, here's who he gives more grace to. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Now, the word resist means that he opposes. Is that in your Bible? Is that New Testament? So it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. One verse, Psalm 138:6 says, God knows the proud afar off. And I have that's where he keeps them. See, he keeps them that way. And Isaiah 57:15, listen to this, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. So, how many want to dwell with God? He dwells with humble people. You know, we've had people get upset over things that we've demanded out of them in church. Well, I'm not lowering the standards, so you'll be happy. Sorry. We had a lady leave our church one time because we held her at the same standards we did everybody else. Or we're going to. She ran off. She wanted to be a part of the praise team and all. This was years ago. And, you know, and I already had some red flag going off in my spirit by her anyway. But anyway, she said, but I can't be there on Wednesday night. I'm tired. I said, well, you think these other guys aren't tired? They're tired. So I'm going to say, okay, she won't be here with you guys Wednesday night because she's tired. I said, that don't work. That don't fly, sister. She left our church. She went to my friend's church here in town. He calls me and says, this lady from your church came to my church. And I told her, I said, now you get back to Pastor Pearl's church. I said, I wish you hadn't done that. She didn't come back anyway. But see, where's the humility in that? What if pastor said I want all the ushers, everybody wear black? Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Is there any scripture against that?
No.
Then if people rebelled against it, what would be a problem? They have a pride issue. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, what if? What if the Lord told me to do things like that? What if? See, we have to have humility. If God's going to exalt us. See, every place I go to preach, I find out what they want me to do. I'll ask the pastor, how you want me to dress? You know, I got a trip coming up to Uganda. It's hot there. You know, it can be uncomfortable. You're there all day long. You're traveling. I asked the missionary, how you want me to dress? Well, we wear a tie every day. Okay, I wear a tie every day. Because he says so. I don't say, well, I'm a free person. I'm an American. We're free. Maybe you people in Uganda don't know that, but us Americans are free. No, I'll do whatever he says do. Wear a suit, wear a tie, you know what I'm saying. Whatever the man says, man. Why? Because it's called humility. You may not think this matters, but God watches this. And if you want to get promoted, you better humble yourself. Because he's not going to exalt you until you're humble. I know this isn't like jump up and down, run around, exciting preaching. But it happens to be something. If you don't get it, you can forget it. Because God keeps the proud afar off. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, all right. Look at the next verse, because this is good. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, all right, what if we weren't submitted to God in some areas of our life? Would the devil flee in those areas? He wouldn't, would he? Why, we see, if you're under, you have to be under somebody's authority to have authority. So if we're not under God's authority, then we don't have any, our authority's not going to work for us. The reason the sergeant has authority is because he's under somebody. I mean, if he rebels, he loses all authority. You know, Dr. Barclay was a drill sergeant. He was the guy that you met for the Marines. He was the guy that you met when you got off the bus. He said when he got saved, it ruined his career because he lost a bunch of words. I'll let you figure that out. He couldn't say what he used to say any longer. It's like, you, And why are they doing that to you? They want you to obey. They want you to respond. So when you get in battle, you live. Johnny Johnson, who was the assistant, he was the assistant secretary, I think, of the Navy at one time. He's a believer. He wrote a book years ago. I read it, and I can't remember it. It had the love. The name Love was in the title, but I don't remember the exact title to it. But he talked about when, I don't remember what branch of the service he was in, but his first day there, you know, he gets off the bus, and there's the drill sergeant. He said, I've got a hat on. You know, we're standing, you know, all the attention. He sees my hat, and he says, you like that hat, don't you? Yeah. He said, put it on the ground. He said, so I took it off, put it on the ground. He said, stomp on it. So I stomped on it. He said, it looks dead to me. He said, what do you do with dead things? You bury them, sir. He said, go dig a hole and bury it. He said, now why are they doing this? Just to torment? No, they're really breaking your will so you submit to the will of the army. Right? So he said, I buried the hat. And he said, I got back in line, and that drill sergeant said, you really liked that hat, didn't you? And he said, I made a mistake. I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, go dig it up. Let's have another look at it. But all that's for a purpose. It may seem like they're just tormenting you, but it's for a purpose. Yeah. Remember Pastor Chuck when he got there and he put his little, what do you have, your little bag thing, your little satchel, and they said it wasn't lined up right. And you said, well, it looks pretty good to me. Did that work?
No,
it didn't work, did it? He was trying to, it looks like it's neat enough to me. This isn't Pastor Chuck's army. This is the Army of the United States. And we don't play by Pastor Chuck's rules. Looks good enough to me. Well, it ain't. You know, God's not a dictator. You know that, don't you? But everything he tells us is for our good. Right? It's so that we'll have a blessed life. Amen. Let's go to one last scripture. Philippians chapter 2. He just wants us to have more grace. More grace. So you have to ask yourself, am I submitted to God? You know, if the devil's not fleeing, that's one thing you better look at is, am I submitted? Is there areas in my life that I haven't submitted to God? Right? See, there's a lot of promises. You know, like the promises for tithing. You know what I'm saying? It talks about the windows of heaven being opened over you. I mean, if you're not experiencing that, you might want to look at some other areas of your life. Because, see, if you're disobedient in one area, it could negate the promise in another area. So you might want to look, don't condemn yourself or don't go overboard with this. But if there's something going on that you know about, right, that you need to change, you should change it. Amen. It's amazing how when people get in trouble, all of a sudden they start changing. Have you seen that? Boy, as a pastor, I've seen that. Somebody has a medical problem and maybe they haven't been living right or coming to church, and all of a sudden, man, they're back. They're faithful as could be for about a month. And then they're right back in their old pattern, see? But how many know this isn't let's make a deal? God expects us to submit to His Word. And if the devil's not fleeing, maybe we're not submitted. Maybe we're not doing everything we're supposed to do. Had a guy one time years ago. He was called to preach. Now, when I first met him, he was not an old man. I would say he was in his late 50s. But he was called to preach at a young age, and he wouldn't do it. And he was the grumpiest, sometimes, guy you could ever meet. He was part of our church. Not this church, but the first church I was at. And we had issues with this guy. One time, the church was growing, and didn't have the parking lot all expanded. So people were parking on the street. And one of the guys in the neighborhood didn't like the church to start with. And he didn't like us parking on the street. So he came over to the church, mouthing off about us parking on the street. This guy hit him and knocked him on the ground. He was a great Christian witness. Like, we're the church of love, first church of love. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm just talking about this is the way this guy was. You know, he even told me one time that he talked about me and Brother Eddie said, you'll do that over my dead body. I thought, well, that could be arranged. I wasn't that far removed from my old days at that time. If I couldn't do it, I knew some people that could. But one day, as he got a little older, I guess he probably was in his late 60s, could have been early 70s, he had a massive heart attack. And, of course, I went over there to see him and all. One of the first things he said when he came to, this is the first thing he said, God, forgive your disobedient servant. That's the first thing he said. Now, his life had been up and down, messed up, not happy, not full of joy, not full of peace, all those years because he simply didn't do what God told him to do. And it's not God that was causing that. It's just that you are not submitted to God and the devil's not fleeing from your life. He's not being ran off. How much nicer it would have been if he'd have just submitted years ago and answered the call to preach the Word of God. He did die. I don't think he died then. I think he lived through that, I believe. Is that right? He lived through that. But then later he passed on. And he probably went before his time because you give access to the devil in your life. And how many know what he's come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. But those of us that are submitted to God have authority. Right? And we can resist him, and he can't do that to us. Right. We can live happy, peaceful lives. Doesn't mean we won't have challenges, but we're going to come out victorious because we have authority. But I think about that guy. I think about how much different his life could have been. Because he was just sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes he was just hard to be around because he wasn't in a very good mood. It's terrible to live that way. I'm glad I have a happy life. How many want a happy life? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Well, you stay submitted to God. You humble yourself. You know, humble means you make your flesh do what it doesn't want to do when it's supposed to do it. Right? I'm the pastor of the church. You think every Sunday morning I wake up just saying, oh, praise the Lord, the sun is up, the birds are chirping. I can't wait to be with the saints. No, sometimes I want to just stay in bed. But that's my flesh. I make it get up. Right? So that's humbling myself. If I wasn't the pastor of the church, I'd be at church. I used to not be the pastor of the church, not this church, but I used to be the traveling guy. I was at church when I wasn't somewhere else. Am I telling the truth? I was there on Sunday morning unless I was out some. And if I wasn't there, I was at church somewhere. I was preaching somewhere. But when I wasn't somewhere else, I was in my church. I had a pastor. Amen. Because that's what God said to do. He didn't raise up pastors and say, now everybody stay home. Let me know what I'm talking about. That's just part of submitting, right? Yeah. You know, and I've said this before, and I mean this. If Jesus said, give, and you won't get a dime back, I'd still give because he said give. Yes. I don't give because I get something back. Now, I do believe for return because that's scriptural. Yeah. Right. But that's not my purpose. My purpose is just obedience.
Right.
It's like Wayne Myers was he went to heaven at 102 or 103. He was a missionary to Mexico, Christ for the Nations. And he said this, when you give because you can't help it, you'll receive because you can't stop it.
Yeah.
That's good. When you give because you can't help it, you'll receive because you can't stop it.
Amen.
See, just start something. But it's obedience to the Lord. I just want to obey God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And so, you know, there's times in my life where it's, you know, one time, I'm getting ready to close, but I'm going to read the scripture to you before I do. But one time in my life, the Lord began dealing with me to apologize to this guy. Now, I hadn't done anything to him that I knew of, okay? But he was definitely offended at me. I mean, he was a Christian guy. And now, how do you know somebody's offended at you? Because they're there for the service, they're there for the praise and worship, and when you get behind the pulpit, they get up and walk out so you can see them leave. Not once, not twice, but every time. You get a clue, they're offended at you. When you see them, you know, in the church parking lot, they won't even look your way. They're offended. Now, I don't know, I still don't know to this day how I offended them. I don't know whether I personally did something or whether it was just the word I preached. I can't really apologize for the word I preach. If I did something dumb, then I can apologize for that. So the Lord began dealing with me to apologize to this guy. Call him up and apologize to him. And I said, well, Lord, I didn't do anything to him. And so I just blew it off. That went on for 3 years. Oh, I'm hard-headed. You don't know the half of it. You don't know the half of it, sister. I'm sweet to my wife, though, and I'm sweet to her, but I'm still hard-headed. I mean, I'm still, if it's in my mind, it's a certain way. Forget it. Lord, he's still working on me to make me what she wants me to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars. I'm thinking he's giving up on me and going back to Jupiter and Mars. That's a song for... But, you know, he dealt with me, and I would just, every time the Lord would bring it up, I'd say, I didn't do anything to the guy. I don't know what I'm going to call him up and apologize for. And I didn't, really. Seriously, I didn't have a clue what to say. Well, finally, the heavens turned brass. Grace has dissipated. And I'm in my study one afternoon, and I'm realizing, man, I'm praying, but I'm praying to myself. You know, like in Luke, where the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. That's all I was doing, praying with myself. I said, all right, Lord, I'll call him. So I called him and I said, look, babe, I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry, whatever it was, I apologize. He said, oh, everything's fine.
But the Lord told you that you didn't want
him. Exactly right. You're right. Thank you, hon. I was finally talking to the Lord, and I told the Lord, I said, I didn't do anything to this guy, Lord. I don't know what to call him, apologize about. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I don't want you to apologize for your sake. I want you to apologize for his sake. He needs to be set free from this. And I called him. And guess what? The heavens opened back up. I had a prayer life again. Hallelujah. Now, I know there's people that, you know, well, grace. Yeah, well, grace. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldliness and live holy, righteous lives. It's what grace does. It doesn't give us permission to live ungodly. It teaches us and gives us power to live godly. And it is what we get when we mess up is called mercy. Grace empowers us. Mercy saves our bacon. So you understand that? So anyway, when I did that, then when I obeyed God, then the heavens opened back up. You find Philippians, we'll close right here. Did you get anything today? Philippians chapter 2, go there. And I want to just read this scripture and we'll close with this. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. Here's what's supposed to be in us, guys. Which was also in Christ Jesus, Now he's going to let us know what mind's supposed to be in us. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, you know, Jesus, he was God. I'm talking about when he was here on earth. He still is God. Don't misunderstand that statement. But he's God, right? And being found, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now think how much he humbled himself. I mean, think, he prayed one time in John 17. He said, Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the world was. Now that's significant because that means he remembers when he was on earth, he remembered the glory he had as the eternal Word of God in heaven. Right. He remembered that glory he lived in. Yeah. He humbled himself and became one of us. Yeah. Can you imagine how humbling that is for God to become one of us? Right. And then, instead of walking streets of gold, he's walking dusty trails in Galilee. Right. Instead of living in the glories of heaven, he's sleeping out under the stars that he made. He's being persecuted and beaten by people he made. That's humble. That's humility. You know, just sometimes think about the difference in the standard of living that Jesus went through from being in heaven to being on earth. See, sometimes you go to another country, the standard of living is a lot lower. Right. Yeah. Amen. I was talking to a professional lady the other day, and she's talking about her kids, taking her kids to a foreign country. I said, every one of them needs to go. They all need to go because they're being told how bad and how oppressed we have it here in the United States. They need to go off and just find out just how great we have it and how we're living in a lap of luxury. Right here in America, so they don't believe all this mush that's being put in their heads about how awful it is here in the United States. You got a cell phone driving a Lexus and eating T-bone steak and tell me you're oppressed? I hear athletes saying I'm oppressed and they're making $30 million a year. I'm thinking, give me some of your oppression, brother. I'll take it. Don't blow that smoke my way. I've been in other countries. I know we're living pretty good here. Right. Best I've ever been. Amen. But every time I leave and go somewhere else, my standard of living goes down. I'm serious. And I'm not just talking about third world countries. You go over, like I'm thinking about one place, and I've just been in the airport there and all around the people, but I'm thinking about in Europe, and I'm thinking, I can tell they're not living as good as we are. They don't have it as good as we do. Could you imagine what it was like for Jesus to leave heaven and come to and go to Nazareth? How many know he humbled himself? As a matter of fact, he humbled himself more than anybody else has ever humbled himself. And because of that, look at verse 9. Wherefore, because of that, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the God the Father. Because he humbled himself more than anybody, he was exalted more than anybody. Amen. Now, Proverbs 15:33 says, before honor is humility. See, people want honor. I want honor. See, oh man, give me a pulpit ministry, pastor. I know I'm called to pulpit. Go clean the toilet. Oh no, I'm not called to clean toilets. I mean, before honor is humility. See, I've done everything there is in church. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, I have. I come up through the ranks. I've done everything. I've taken the toilets. I've not only cleaned the toilets, I've taken them out and unstopped them. Taking them out in the church yard to get stuff out of there that the saints of God think you can flush down a commode. I had to perform, and some of you, if you're a plumber, you know what I'm talking about. I have to perform a back flush on them to get all that stuff lodged out. I'm like, that don't go on your commode. Well, at church it does. Try it at home. So I've done everything. And one time, like I said, the only thing I haven't done is the nursery. And Jackie said she could fix it for me. I don't want that fix. But see, if you're not willing to do the small things, forget about the big things with God. If you're not faithful over the small, forget the, right? Forget the much. You can't do the least jobs. Amen. I'm not recruiting ministry helps today. I'm just making a point. You got to be, you before honor is humility. Amen. Maybe you're called to preach, but maybe before you preach, you just go get pastor water. Well, I don't wait on any man. Well, you probably won't get exalted by God unless you learn that. I still tell my pastor, Dr. Berkeley, this day, I've told him before when I come to his conferences, if there's anything you need me to do, tell me. I'll do it. I want to make your load lighter. I don't care what it is. You need me to go work out in the parking lot? I'll go work out in the parking lot. He asked, well, pick people up from the hotel. Okay, I'll do that. Guest speakers and stuff. Yeah, I'll do that. They can ride with me. Amen. What is that? That's just like, man, you stay humble in your own eyes. God can exalt you, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, listen, Jesus was our example, isn't he?
Yes.
He humbled himself more than anybody. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? First thing is what? Humble themselves and then pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I will heal their land. All right, think about that. Why don't people pray? Number one, they don't pray because they don't really believe God will do anything. Right? And how many know another reason? There's two reasons why people don't pray. The number one reason is they don't. Now they wouldn't say this, but this is what you're saying when you don't pray. I don't need God's help. You got to humble yourself to pray. And they don't. They're saying I don't need God's help. Or number two, they're saying, I don't believe anything will happen. But God said it would. We got to have faith, right? So how do we access grace? Well, we access grace by humility. He gives grace to the humble. If God says it, hey, I'm going to do it. No argument about it. I'm just going to do it. I remember when I learned about tithing. And I hadn't been saved but 2 weeks and I heard about tithing. And I didn't have a whole lot of money at the time. But I thought, what I had, I'm going to tithe off of it. I think at the time I had $80 to my name, which is a little more than it is now. But I remember giving that $8 tithe, you know, because here's was my thought. After what Jesus has done for me, I'd give him everything if he wanted it. I was just happy to be free. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.